友们大家好，今天是4月7号星期二，欢迎收看美国观察。为了应对新冠疫情，美国观察将继续从室外录制播出。白宫新冠工作小组的官员说，接下来的这个星期将会是美国新冠疫情最为严重的时刻。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
截至4月6号星期一的中午为止呢，美国境内因为新型冠状病毒确诊的人数已经到达了34万人，而死亡人数也已经逼近了10000人的大关。特朗普总统在星期天晚上的白宫新闻记者会上说呢，现在的疫情已经缓解，已经可以看到隧道尽头的曙光。不过呢，美国的卫生总监亚当斯在星期天却说，坦率地说，这将是大多数美国人生活当中最艰难最悲伤的一周，这将是我们的珍珠港时刻，我们的911时刻，只是不会本地化，这将会在全国各地发生。而美国国家过敏与传染病研究所所长福奇医生也说，这一周将会很糟糕，这会让一些人感到震惊。因此呢，在星期天晚上的白宫新闻记者会上呢，就有记者问到特朗普总统说，为什么这个白宫的卫生官员与总统的说法关于疫情方面会是不一致的。对此呢，特朗普总统则回应说，并没有不同。我们来看特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上是怎么说的。
I don't think it's so different. I think we all know that we have to reach a certain point, and that point is going to beA horrific point in terms of death, but it's also a point at which things are going to start changing. We're getting very close to that level right now, and the next week and a half, 2 weeks are going to be, I think they're going to be very difficult. At the same time, we understand what they represent and what that time represents, and hopefully we can get this over with, because this is a very...horrible thing for the world.
而不仅是在这个新冠病毒疫情方面的看法有所不同呢，在这个治疗新冠肺炎的药物上面，特朗普总统与白宫的这个新冠病毒小组的卫生官局的成员也有不同的看法。特朗普总统之前曾经公开说过，那么也在他的推特上推广被用来治疗疟疾、狼疮以及类风湿关节炎的强心葵可以呢治疗新冠肺炎。那么特朗普总统在4月4号星期六的白宫新闻简报会上告诉美国民众说，服用它反正没有什么好损失的。那么在4月5号星期天的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统再度的推广了这个药物。他说，美国没有时间为测试这个药物是否能够有效的治疗新冠病毒等上好几年。美国国家的过敏与传染病研究所所长福奇医生多次的表示，这个药物目前还没有确定的疗效跟安全性。而根据美国媒体报道，白宫贸易顾问彼得·纳瓦罗在白宫的新冠工作会小组会议上呢，对于是否要推广这个药物跟福奇医生还起了冲突。那特朗普总统所说的这个强氯喹可以治疗新冠病毒的做法呢，乃是基于中国还有法国的两个小型研究，但这两个研究团队的表示，这个药物的效果以及安全性还需要更多的研究。而中国的上海市公共卫生临床中心的感染与免疫科团队的研究发表在中国的浙江大学学报。那么这个研究呢，只有30名的新冠肺炎患者接受试验，而法国的研究团队呢，也只有研究了30个人。此外呢，在3月23号，法国总统还表示，如果没有其他的临床试验来证明这个药物的疗效以及安全性呢，法国政府不同意大批使用该药物治疗。另外呢，这个强氯喹原本是用来治疗疟疾、狼疮跟类风湿关节炎，现在呢，罹患这些疾病的人则担心，原本应该是由他们来使用的药物，接下来会不敷使用。美国的食品药品管理局在4月1号已经表示，美国境内的这个药物呢已经出现了短缺，不过药厂已经加紧生产。此外，英国政府在新冠肺炎开始蔓延的初期呢，采取的是不作为的方式，认为让大多数的人民得病之后就会自然产生抗体。但是呢，做出这个主张的英国首相约翰逊在3月26号确诊罹患新冠肺炎，那么在连续10天无法让症状消退之后，在4月5号住院治疗。特朗普总统呢，在星期天的这个新闻简报会上则特别表示慰问约翰逊首相。我们看特朗普总统星期天的时候在白宫的怎么说。
Before I begin, I want to express our nation's well wishes to Prime Minister Boris Johnson as he wages his own personal fight with the virus. All Americans are praying for him. He's a friend of mine. He's a great gentleman and a great leader. And he's, as you know, he was brought to the hospital today. But I'm hopeful and sure that he's going to be fine. He's a strong man, strong person.
此外呢，新冠肺炎的疫情对美国的经济也造成了冲击，且美联储的主席耶伦说，美国第二季度的 GDP 可能会衰退30%，而失业率高达12%-13%之间，而且呢还会持续提高。美国财政部呢则设立一个新的职位，叫做流行病复苏特别督察长。星期五的时候，特朗普总统已经发出声明，表示将会提名米勒来担任这个职位。那么这个职位呢，需要经过参议院的核准。那么白宫在星期一，也就是4月5号，已经正式的提名了米勒出任这个职位。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
纽约市是全美新冠疫情的重灾区，有关纽约市的最新情况，我们请记者方斌为我们介绍。
过去的一周，纽约与新冠病毒的斗争是惨烈的，死于新冠肺炎的人数是前一周的400%多，从1000上升到了4100多，被确诊的案例也翻了一番，达12万多。在纽约，每天持续增加500-600死亡患者，45辆冷冻拖车的临时太平间已不够用，联邦政府正给纽约赶送85辆过来。纽约州长和市长都说，这个星期是纽约进入疫情高峰期的关键一周。
I've said to all New Yorkers that this Sunday, April 5th, is absolutely essential day as we prepare for a very, very difficult week ahead.
Our reading of the projections is we're somewhere.In the 7-day range, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-day range.
为解决医院系统缺少医疗物资，州长下令国民兵负责到各医院强制性运出20%空闲的呼吸机到最急需的医院。周四，纽约获得了中国的阿里巴巴创办人捐赠的1000台呼吸机。
The supply of ventilators is so crucial in particular at this moment because what we're seeing lately is between 200 and 300 more patients needing to be intubated.
由于缺少保护性物资，奋战在第一线的医护人员每天仍冒着被感染的风险。周四，由新英格兰爱国者球队的飞机从中国运来的100万只 N95 口罩，其中的30多万只运抵纽约贾维茨会议中心的临时紧急医院。该医院新改装了2500个新冠肺炎患者的加护病床，停靠在曼哈顿90号码头的安慰号也开始接受新冠患者，以疏解纽约医院的压力。联邦政府还给纽约派来了1000名包括医生、护士在内的专业人员。民间继续活跃地为第一线医护人员捐赠口罩等物资。上周，人道中国主席周峰锁将捐赠给纽约州护士协会的2000多个 N95 口罩送到了专注紧急救援的阿夫亚基金会。上周，纽约市率先要求所有市民外出要戴口罩，但口罩在市面上依然缺货。
First, all my coworkers were trying to buy masks, and I was like not fully understanding that. I thought it was only for sick people, so I never bought one. And now I'm like, I'm in the wrong, and I should have had one.
周日，纽约州长库莫说，虽然24小时内纽约州的新冠患者死亡人数高达近600，但全州死亡人数在过去一周里首次出现了比前一天略有下降的现象。
The number of deaths over the past few days has been dropping for the first time. What is the significance of that? It's too early.
周日，州长爆出的好消息是74%的患者已经出院，而新的住院人数也下降了一半。但他表示不清楚的是，纽约的疫情在达到拐点之后，究竟是会大幅度下滑呢，还是会缓慢地横行一段时间。美国之音方斌九岛，纽约报道。
纽约市下令关闭所有的发廊和美甲店，这导致数千名美甲师和发型师失去了工作，其中有很多人都是移民。来看报道。
纽约市居民朗·马奇奥打算理发和修剪胡子，但发廊由于纽约市出于新冠病毒疫情而下令关闭后停业。问题是，他怎么办呢？瑞尼·盖恩普斯出现了。这位理发师提供上门服务。
Some of them weren't sure if it was safe enough for a barber to come to their house. But after a week it was like, you know what, man, I need a haircut because my barbershop is closed.
尽管纽约州下令居民待在家里，盖恩普斯仍在上门服务客户。每次他都会往身上喷洒消毒液，并戴上口罩和手套。家里克拉克的一些客户也希望能上门理发，但他不愿给自己和他人的健康带来风险。
My idea is to really see if you can get some alternate financial assistance, and kind of just wait it out.
对克拉克来说，这还意味着等待当地电视和电影制作团队复工。他的客户包括名人和百老汇演员。
Some clients have been able to pay it forward, just in a bit of gratitude, as if they were getting their haircut. So when this does lift, I would certainly go out and service them.
纽约市的美甲店也被迫关门。艾米林林的美甲店星期天有三家分店，超过50名员工。
They are the most vulnerable group of people in Sunday's family, all immigrants coming from different countries, from Nepal, from Ecuador, from Colombia, from China.
玲玲在 GoFundMe 网页上开始众筹，并将礼品卡销售额全数赠与她的团队。她还制作了自助工具包和在线教学视频。
This crisis definitely made me to do things faster, get out of my comfort zone. I used to overthink so much, and then just like right now, I'm just do it.
对于这些纽约人来说，随机应变和敢想敢干仍然是他们所推崇的。美国之音郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
美国经济在新冠疫情的冲击下大规模停摆，失业数据创下新高。经济究竟何时能够复苏？政府的纾困措施是否能够取得成效？就此，我采访了美国 PNC 金融服务集团副总裁、高级经济师叶文斌先生，我们一起去看一看他怎么说。
我们上次采访您是几个星期之前了，我不知道这段时间您对这个经济形势的看法有没有进一步的改变，或者说您之前有没有预料到我们今天会到达这样一个这样一个困难的境地。
拿现在跟几个星期之前来比，就是数据已经证明了美国经济的已经实现了一个比较糟糕的一个的一个情况了。这个是几个星期前可是觉得是可能的，甚至很有可能的，但是这些风险现在已经都实现到了。
现在就是。之前这个国会两党议员是通过了一个2万亿美元的一个纾困计划，您觉得这个对于经济有多大的缓解作用？可以很大程度上改变我们现在的这个困境吗？
现在美国经济的衰退的速度是历史上没有的，就是从来没有看到美国经济就是下滑的这么快。所以美国财政还有美国货币的就是当局的这个决策者采取就是这么大力度的政策工具是很合理的。
那还有没有别的金融或者财政措施目前美国政府还可以采取呢？
我们现在还在期待下一轮的这个财政的支持会是什么方式的。现在呢看美国经济都是知道是短期之内会实现比较严峻的下滑，但是还不知道的是这个下滑会继续多长时间。这个主要是看疫情的多长时间才可以缓和。所以对未来经济的预测最主要的不确定性就是美国经济需要熬多长时间才可以开始复苏的。经济维持在这种很严峻的情况下，维持的时间越长，对经济的伤害越大，然后对未来复苏的这个累赘的这个作用是也是越大的。
那中间就是说，如果说一旦疫情到达拐点或者是好转，是不是说经济马上能够复苏，还是说会有一段时间的延滞后？
我认为 这个疫情到拐点之后，就是一个是政策可以取消这些限制供给的这些政策，就是大家除了这些必有工作的人之外，都要留家里，然后不上班的。这个一取消了，对经济会有一个很大的一个短期的一个的一个积极作用。但是更慢的就是这些人回去开始工作了，然后收入回来了，对总体的需求有多大的贡献，或者是需求能多快的回到一个正常的一个状态，这个问题是更不确定的。
嗯，好的，非常感谢您今天接受我们的采访。需保持社交距离的当下，记者们的处境非常的困难，因为他们很难脱离人群。不过这对于美国之音白宫记者维达库斯瓦拉来说，这只是他工作中挑战的一部分。
Hi, I'm Patsy Vidakuswara, and like many people who can't always social distance themselves at work, recently I had to put myself and others in a risky position during this pandemic. On March 28th, as VOA's White House correspondent, I had to fly with the president on Air Force One from Joint Base Andrews in Maryland to Norfolk Naval Base in Virginia, where he sent off a naval hospital ship, the USNS Comfort, to assist the state of New York in their COVID-19 relief effort. The White House had reduced the press pool from the usual 13 to 7 people to accommodate social distancing on the plane, where we were instructed to sit on every other seat. Obviously, I knew that being in a plane at this time was risky, and I admit that I was a little nervous. During the screening process, for example, I came in close contact with 5 officers, and they were not all wearing masks. I thought about my son, who was 12, who gave me this advice.
If people are around you, hold your breath or breathe out.
Aboard Air Force One, I wiped my seat and the box meal the crew left for me with disinfectant. I was stressed. I was sharing this enclosed space with other journalists, White House staff, Secret Service agents, and the crew, but also because I was radio pool. So a radio pool reporter's responsibility is to capture and upload broadcast quality audio of every single word that the president says within minutes after he says them. So, you know, this is not just my reputation on the line, but also my organization's reputation because other outlets are depending on us. On the way back from Norfolk, the president came by for an off-the-record chat. And we huddled around him, you know, again, disobeying social distancing guidelines. But off-the-records are quite rare. And to be honest, for those few minutes, I forgot all about the virus and I cared only that I do my job. Something that I'm always grateful for, a pandemic or not. So that's my COVID-19 diaries. Thanks for listening. I hope you and your family stay safe.
英国女王伊丽莎白二世五号向英国民众发表电视讲话，向医护人员、关键领域的工作人员表示感谢，并且呼吁民众克服暂时的困难，战胜新冠病毒疫情。英国从3月23号开始实施禁足令，到目前为止，大多数人都遵守这项指导方针。但是这个环境依然让许多人感到窒息，因为他们已经习惯了自由开放的生活。
The lockdown has been in place in Britain here for just over a week now, and it seems to me that it's having myriad effects on British society. It appears to have pitted two core British values against each other. One, the right to privacy and the right to roam freely, and the other, the willingness to abide by the rules.British society, like in many countries, has become a surveillance society almost overnight. There are police checkpoints in some parts of the country, but it's not entirely clear what is allowed. I have elderly parents who live some way away, and I would like to drive to check that they are okay. I'm not sure if that is allowed under the new rules. It's not just police who are checking up on people's movements either. There have been reports of neighbours telling authorities about their neighbours breaking the rules. Some police forces have even set up online portals or hotlines to facilitate this. On our local Facebook page, there are photographs of children playing in the park with people complaining that this is breaking the rules. And just to give you one example, I took my children to the local park to play in the cricket practice nets. Most families were waiting their turn. One family wanted to play alongside all the others, and there was a heated debate over whether this was breaking the rules, whether this was essentially fair play, or as the old British saying goes, it's not just cricket or it's not playing fair. Now, those unwritten rules of British society may perhaps belong to a different era, but it's pretty clear that those rules are going to be severely frayed after several more weeks or even months of these restrictions.
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富。支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。曾经担任新疆库勒市市长的买卖提阿卜杜拉，在失踪了2年多以后，被中国政府判处无期徒刑。他的女儿对美国之音表示，这是一桩冤假错案。我们来看美国之音记者刘文明的报道。
My name is Subi Mehmet Yüksel. I am 31 years old. I am Uyghur American. I graduated from George Mason University, majoring in business management. And I've been married to my husband for over 7 years. And we have 2 kids, a boy and a girl, and we're expecting the third one.
这是苏比买买提于克塞尔在美国维吉尼亚州的家，他与哥哥斯坎德尔买买提以及嫂子在2007年以留学生的身份来到美国，之后并在美国取得合法居留身份。
My parents would often come, you know, to visit us, visit their newborn grandchildren, attending my wedding. In their last visit in 2015, they came to.Help my first child because I was at the school at the time. I needed help.
于克塞尔的父亲买买提阿布杜拉在上世纪80至90年代曾经担任新疆库尔勒市的市长。在全家搬到乌鲁木齐后，他担任新疆林业厅厅长，直到2008年退休为止。在新疆维吾尔自治区政府的公职生涯超过40年。
It's very difficult for me to describe him with few words, and my words are too weak to describe his character because he has such an amazing qualities. He's an amazing dad, very generous. He puts his family members, you know, happiness before him. A few weeks before his missing, I've talked to him on the phone for like over 90 minutes, and I remember I posted on social media.That I was so blessed that I have, you know, I'm so blessed that I have such great dad that I can talk to. And I'm sad.
我爸是在我们地区非常受人尊重的。我爸弹琴、奏乐、绘画，我知道很多很多人做不到我爸那种雅琴，我爸那种度量。我爸为他想为人民做的那种纪念，我觉得没人敢比。
On April 29, 2017, on the day of his departure to the U.S., my dad was missing. In the morning at 4 a.m., my brother came to my house and said, "We need to cancel the flight, and they're not going to come." And I was very shocked, and we didn't know what happened exactly. And like later, a few hours later, and we finally contact with my mom, and she said two Chinese security officers, they arrested him while he was out. He was outside of home. And when I look at her face, like she was so scared, and she was sobbing without letting her voice out. And like later that day, another two Chinese officials came to my mom's house and took their passport and told them that, you know, they're not going anywhere.
买买提阿布都拉被逮捕后音讯全无。
We don't know which jail he is in. And what worries us the most is that they're not allowing my mom, my sister, to contact him. We don't know like exactly what happened to him. But last thing that we know was that he lost over 25 kilos, which is like close to 60 pounds.
在被关押超过两年半之后的2019年12月, 家人收到律师的通知。 75岁的买买提阿布都拉被法院判了无期徒刑。
They accused my father as separatist and two-faced and sentenced him life in prison. And they also accused my dad that he misused government's money.
开庭的时候，他们说是以分裂罪、两面派、资助分裂分子等等罪名判了无期徒刑。
Two-face and bribery is a very usual and common accusation, false accusation that government use for those people who are for Uyghurs who work for government and well-known and prominent people in Uyghur community, and they use that term to confiscate their lifelong earnings and leave their family with nothing. Even before the sentencing, my dad's retirement income and his property, lifelong savings, like were confiscated. And my mom's retirement income and insurance were stopped. And also my brother's land also confiscated.
我从1995年在库尔勒市开发的1200多亩地 被国家安全局给没收了，没有任何法律手续。我妈他们，我妹妹他们上诉，以后维持原判。They
refiled the second time, but they denied, and they did not change any single thing. And they did not even give my mom and the sister to give chance to, you know, talk to my dad.
到现在为止，我们家里面我们都没收到判决书。
They did not provide the court order to my mom and sister. They heard it from from the lawyer that they hired, also Chinese. They ask, at least like give us something that we know what kind of evidence that you use as, you know, the findings, and like, and my children in the U.S. they have right to know what exactly happened to their dad, and they didn't let them know any information. I cannot express how much pain that we're going through, that we cannot do anything about it.
病毒出来以后。 我们更加担心，因为新疆的那个医疗条件，那个集中营里面的那些条件，我们现在最担心的就这件事。美国之音就买买提阿布都拉家属提出的疑点，写信询问中国驻美国大使馆，希望能够得到进一步的说明，但是在节目播出之前，都未得到相关的回应。
2015年，买买提阿布都拉最后一次来美时，在于克塞尔家门前种下的树已经长高了许多，而他当年帮忙照顾的外孙也已经能够骑单车了。
And every time I saw him, it's like, yes, my dad holds you. I mean, I have so many beautiful memories. Like it's
美国之音记者刘恩明发自维吉尼亚州的报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。大家好，今天是4月7号，星期二，欢迎收看《美国观察》。为了应对新冠疫情，《美国观察》将继续从室外录制播出。白宫新冠工作小组的官员说，接下来的这个星期将会是美国新冠疫情最为严重的时刻。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
截至4月6号星期一的中午为止呢，美国境内因为新型冠状病毒确诊的人数已经到达了34万人，而死亡人数也已经逼近了10000人的大关。特朗普总统在星期天晚上的白宫新闻记者会上说呢，现在的疫情已经缓解，已经可以看到隧道尽头的曙光。不过呢，美国的卫生总监亚当斯在星期天却说，坦率地说，这将是大多数美国人生活当中最艰难最悲伤的一周，这将是我们的珍珠港时刻，我们的911时刻，只是不会本地化，这将会在全国各地发生。而美国国家过敏与传染病研究所所长福奇医生也说，这一周将会很糟糕，这会让一些人感到震惊。因此呢，在星期天晚上的白宫新闻记者会上呢，就有记者问到特朗普总统说，为什么这个白宫的卫生官员与总统的说法关于疫情方面会是不一致的。对此呢，特朗普总统则回应说，并没有不同。我们来看看特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上是怎么说的。
I don't think they're so different. I think we all know that we have to reach a certain point, and that point is going to be a horrific point in terms of death. But it's also a point at which things are going to start changing. We're getting very close to that level right now, and the next week and a half, 2 weeks are going to be, I think they're going to be very difficult. At the same time,We understand what they represent and what that time represents, and hopefully we can get this over with, because this is a very horrible thing for the world.
而不仅是在这个新冠病毒疫情方面的看法有所不同呢，在这个治疗新冠肺炎的药物上面，特朗普总统与白宫的这个新冠病毒小组的卫生官局的成员也有不同的看法。特朗普总统之前曾经公开说过，那么也在他的推特上推广被用来治疗疟疾、狼疮以及类风湿关节炎的强心葵可以呢治疗新冠肺炎。那么特朗普总统在4月4号星期六的白宫新闻简报会上告诉美国民众说，服用它反正没有什么好损失的。那么在4月5号星期天的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统再度的推广了这个药物。他说，美国没有时间为测试这个药物是否能够有效的治疗新冠病毒等上好几年。美国国家的过敏与传染病研究所所长福奇医生多次的表示，这个药物目前还没有确定的疗效跟安全性。而根据美国媒体报道，白宫贸易顾问彼得·纳瓦罗在白宫的新冠工作会小组会议上呢，对于是否要推广这个药物跟福奇医生还起了冲突。那特朗普总统所说的这个强氯喹可以治疗新冠病毒的做法呢，乃是基于中国还有法国的两个小型研究，但是这两个研究团队的表示，这个药物的效果以及安全性还需要更多的研究。而中国的上海市公共卫生临床中心的感染与免疫科团队的研究发表在中国的浙江大学学报。那么这个研究呢，只有30名的新冠肺炎患者接受试验，而法国的研究团队呢，也只有研究了30个人。此外呢，在3月23号，法国总统还表示，如果没有其他的临床试验来证明这个药物的疗效以及安全性呢，法国政府不同意大批使用该药物治疗。另外呢，这个强氯喹原本是用来治疗疟疾、狼疮跟类风湿关节炎，现在呢，罹患这些疾病的人则担心，原本应该是由他们来使用的药物，接下来会不敷使用。美国的食品药品管理局在4月1号已经表示，美国境内的 这个药物呢已经出现了短缺，不过药厂已经加紧生产。此外，英国政府在新冠肺炎开始蔓延的初期呢，采取的是不作为的方式，认为让大多数的人民得病之后就会自然产生抗体。但是呢，做出这个主张的英国首相约翰逊在3月26号确诊罹患新冠肺炎，那么在连续10天无法让症状消退之后，在4月5号住院治疗。特朗普总统呢，在星期天的这个新闻简报会上，则特别表示慰问约翰逊首相。我们看特朗普总统星期天的时候在白宫的怎么说。
Before I begin, I want to express our nation's well wishes to Prime Minister Boris Johnson as he wages his own personal fight with the virus. All Americans are praying for him. He's a friend of mine. He's a great gentleman and a great leader. And he's, as you know, he was.Brought to the hospital today, but I'm hopeful and sure that he's going to be fine. He's a strong man, strong person.
此外呢，新冠肺炎的疫情对美国的经济也造成了冲击。前美联储的主席耶伦说，美国第二季度的 GDP 可能会衰退30%，而失业率高达12%-13%之间，而且呢还会持续提高。美国财政部呢则设立了一个新的职位，叫做流行病复苏特别督察长。星期五的时候，特朗普总统已经发出声明，表示将会提名米勒来担任这个职位。那么这个职位呢，需要经过参议院的核准。那么白宫在星期一，也就是4月5号，已经正式的提名了米勒出任这个职位。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
纽约市是全美新冠疫情的重灾区，有关纽约市的最新情况，我们请记者方斌为我们介绍。
过去的一周，纽约与新冠病毒的斗争是惨烈的，死于新冠肺炎的人数是前一周的400%多，从1000上升到了4100多，被确诊的案例也翻了一番，达12万多。在纽约，每天持续增加5-600死亡患者，45辆冷冻拖车的临时太平间已不够用，联邦政府正给纽约赶送85辆过来。纽约州长和市长都说，这个星期是纽约进入疫情高峰期的关键一周。
I've said to all New Yorkers that this Sunday, April 5th, is an absolutely essential day as we prepare for a very, very difficult week ahead.
Our reading of the projections is we're somewhere.In the 7-day range, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-day range.
为解决医院系统缺少医疗物资，州长下令国民兵负责到各医院强制性运出20%空闲的呼吸机到最急需的医院。周四，纽约获得了中国的阿里巴巴创办人捐赠的1000台呼吸机。
The supply of ventilators is so crucial in particular at this moment because what we're seeing lately is between 200 and 300 more patients needing to be intubated.
由于缺少保护性物资，奋战在第一线的医护人员每天仍冒着被感染的风险。周四，由新英格兰爱国者球队的飞机从中国运来的100万只 N95 口罩，其中的30多万只运抵纽约贾维茨会议中心的临时紧急医院。该医院新改装了2500个新冠肺炎患者的加护病床，停靠在曼哈顿90号码头的安慰号也开始接受新冠患者，以疏解纽约医院的压力。联邦政府还给纽约派来了1000名包括医生、护士在内的专业人员。民间继续活跃地为第一线医护人员捐赠口罩等物资。上周，人道中国主席周峰锁将捐赠给纽约州护士协会的2000多个 N95 口罩送到了专注紧急救援的阿夫亚基金会。上周，纽约市率先要求所有市民外出要戴口罩，但口罩在市面上依然缺货。
First, all my coworkers were trying to buy masks, and I was like not fully understanding that. I thought it was only for sick people, so I never bought one. And now I'm like I'm in the wrong, and I should have had one.
周日，纽约州长库莫说，虽然24小时内纽约州的新冠患者死亡人数高达近600，但全州死亡人数在过去一周里首次出现了比前一天略有下降的现象。
The number of deaths over the past few days has been dropping for the first time. What is the significance of that? It's too early.
周日，州长爆出的好消息是74%的患者已经出院， 而新的住院人数也下降了一半。但他表示不清楚的是，纽约的疫情在达到拐点之后，究竟是会大幅度下滑呢，还是会缓慢地横行一段时间。美国之音方冰九岛纽约报道。
纽约市下令关闭所有的发廊和美甲店，这导致数千名美甲师和发型师失去了工作，其中有很多人都是移民。来看报道。
纽约市居民朗·马奇奥打算理发和修剪胡子，但发廊由于纽约市出于新冠病毒疫情而下令关闭后停业。问题是他怎么办呢？瑞尼·盖恩普斯出现了，这位理发师提供上门服务。
Some of them weren't sure if it was safe enough for a barber to come to their house. But after a week, it was like, you know what, man, I need a haircut because my barber shop is closed.
尽管纽约州下令居民待在家里，盖恩普斯仍在上门服务客户。每次他都会往身上喷洒消毒液，并戴上口罩和手套。家里克拉克的一些客户也希望他能上门理发，但他不愿给自己和他人的健康带来风险。
My idea is to really see if you can get some alternate financial assistance, and kind of just wait it out.
对克拉克来说，这还意味着等待当地电视和电影制作团队复工。他的客户包括名人和百老汇演员。
Some clients have been able to pay it forward, just in a bit of gratitude, as if they were getting their haircut. So when this does lift, I would certainly go out and service them.
纽约市的美甲店也被迫关门。艾米·林林的美甲店星期天有三家分店，超过50名员工。
They are the most vulnerable group of people in Sunday's family, all immigrants coming from different countries, from Nepal, from Ecuador, from Colombia, from China.
林林在 GoFundMe 网页上开始众筹，并将礼品卡销售额全数赠予他的团队。他还制作了自助工具包和在线教学视频。
This crisis definitely made me to do things faster, get out of my comfort zone. I used to overthink so much, and then just like right now, I'm just do it.
对于这些纽约人来说，随机应变和敢想敢干仍然是他们所推崇的。美国之音郑蒂娜纽约报道。
美国经济在新冠疫情的冲击下大规模停摆，失业数据创下新高。经济究竟何时能够复苏？政府的纾困措施是否能够取得成效？就此，我采访了美国 PNC 金融服务集团副总裁、高级经济师叶文冰先生，我们一起去看一看他怎么说。
我们上次采访您是几个星期之前了，我不知道这段时间您对这个经济形势的看法有没有进一步的改变，或者说您之前有没有预料到我们今天会到达这样一个这样困难的境地。
拿现在跟几个星期之前来比，就是数据已经证明了美国经济的已经实现了一个比较糟糕的一个情况了。这个是几个星期前可是觉得是可能的，甚至很有可能的，但是这些风险现在已经都实现到了。
现在就是。之前这个国会两党议员是通过了一个2万亿美元的一个纾困计划，您觉得这个对于经济有多大的缓解作用？可以很大程度上改变我们现在的这个困境吗？
现在美国经济的衰退的速度是历史上没有的，就是从来没有看到美国经济就是下滑的这么快。所以美国财政还有美国货币的就是当局的这个决策者采取就是这么大力度的政策工具是很合理的。
那还有没有别的金融或者财政措施目前美国政府还可以采取呢？
我们现在还在期待下一轮的这个财政的支持会是什么方式的。现在呢看美国经济都是知道是短期之内会实现比较严峻的下滑，但是还不知道的是这个下滑会继续多长时间。这个主要是看疫情的多长时间才可以缓和。所以对未来经济的预测最主要的不确定性就是 美国经济需要熬多长时间才可以开始复苏的。经济维持在这种很严峻的情况下，维持的时间越长，对经济的伤害越大，然后对未来复苏的这个累赘的这个作用是也是越大的。
嗯，那中间就是说，如果说一旦疫情到达拐点或者是好转，是不是说经济马上能够复苏，还是说会有一段时间的延滞后？
我认为这个疫情到拐点之后，就是一个是政策可以取消这些限制供给的这些政策，就是大家除了这些必有工作的人之外，都要留家里，然后不上班的。这个一取消了，对经济会有一个很大的一个短期的一个的一个积极作用。但是更慢的就是这些人回去开始工作了，然后收入回来了，对总体的需求有多大的贡献，或者是需求能多快的回到一个正常的一个状态，这个问题是更不确定的。
嗯，好的，非常感谢您今天接受我们的采访。需保持社交距离的当下，记者们的处境非常的困难，因为他们很难脱离人群。不过这对于美国之音白宫记者维达库斯瓦拉来说，这只是他工作中挑战的一部分。
Hi, I'm Patsy Vidakuswara, and like many people who can't always social distance themselves at work, recently I had to put myself and others in a risky position during this pandemic. On March 28th, as VOA's White House correspondent, I had to fly with the president on Air Force One from Joint Base Andrews in Maryland to Norfolk Naval Base in Virginia, where he sent off a naval hospital ship, the USNS Comfort, to assist the state of New York in their COVID-19 relief effort. The White House had reduced the press pool from the usual 13 to 7 people to accommodate social distancing on the plane, where we were instructed to sit on every other seat. Obviously, I knew that being in a plane at this time was risky, and I admit that I was a little nervous. During the screening process, for example, I came in close contact with 5 officers, and they were not all wearing masks. I thought about my son, who was 12, who gave me this advice.
If people are around you, hold your breath or breathe out.
Aboard Air Force One, I wiped my seat and the box meal the crew left for me with disinfectant. I was stressed. I was sharing this enclosed space with other journalists, White House staff, Secret Service agents, and the crew, but also because I was radio pool. So a radio pool reporter's responsibility is to capture and upload broadcast quality audio of every single word that the president says within minutes after he says them. So, you know, this is not just my reputation on the line, but also my organization's reputation because other outlets are depending on us. On the way back from Norfolk, the president came by for an off-the-record chat. And we huddled around him, you know, again, disobeying social distancing guidelines. But off-the-records are quite rare. And to be honest, for those few minutes, I forgot all about the virus and I cared only that I do my job. Something that I'm always grateful for, a pandemic or not. So that's my COVID-19 diaries. Thanks for listening. I hope you and your family stay safe.
英国女王伊丽莎白二世五号向英国民众发表电视讲话，向医护人员、关键领域的工作人员表示感谢，并且呼吁民众克服暂时的困难，战胜新冠病毒疫情。英国从3月23号开始实施禁足令，到目前为止，大多数人都遵守这项指导方针。但是这个环境依然让许多人感到窒息，因为他们已经习惯了自由开放的生活。
The lockdown has been in place in Britain here for just over a week now, and it seems to me that it's having myriad effects on British society. It appears to have pitted two core British values against each other. One, the right to privacy and the right to roam freely, and the other, the willingness to abide by the rules. British society, like in many countries, has become a surveillance society almost overnight. There are police checkpoints in some parts of the country, but it's not entirely clear what is allowed. I have elderly parents who live some way away, and I would like to drive to check that they are okay. I'm not sure if that is allowed under the new rules. It's not just police who are checking up on people's movements either. There have been reports of neighbours telling authorities about their neighbours breaking the rules. Some police forces have even set up online portals or hotlines to facilitate this. On our local Facebook page, there are photographs of children playing in the park with people complaining that this is breaking the rules. And just to give you one example, I took my children to the local park to play in the cricket practice nets. Most families were waiting their turn. One family wanted to play alongside all the others, and there was a heated debate over whether this was breaking the rules, whether this was essentially fair play, or as the old British saying goes, it's not just cricket or it's not playing fair. Now, those unwritten rules of British society may perhaps belong to a different era, but it's pretty clear that those rules are going to be severely frayed after several more weeks or even months of these restrictions.
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。曾经担任新疆库勒市市长的买卖提阿卜杜拉，在失踪了2年多以后，被中国政府判处无期徒刑。他的女儿对美国之音表示，这是一桩冤假错案。我们来看美国之音记者刘文明的报道。
My name is Subi Mehmet Yüksel. I am 31 years old. I am Uyghur American.I've graduated from George Mason University, majoring in business management. And I've been married to my husband for over 7 years. And we have 2 kids, a boy and a girl, and we're expecting a third one.
This is Subi Mehmeti, 于克塞尔在美国维吉尼亚州的家。他与哥哥斯坎德尔·买买提以及嫂子在2007年以留学生的身份来到美国，之后并在美国取得合法居留身份。
My parents would often come, you know, to visit us, visit their newborn grandchildren, attending my wedding. In their last visit in 2015, they came to help my first child because I was at the school at that time. I needed help.
于克塞尔的父亲买买提阿布都拉在上世纪80至90年代曾经担任新疆库尔勒市的市长，在全家搬到乌鲁木齐后，他担任新疆林业厅厅长，直到2008年退休为止，在新疆维吾尔自治区政府的公职生涯超过40年。
It's very difficult for me to describe him with few words, and my words are too weak to describe his character because he has such an amazing qualities. He's an amazing dad, very generous. He puts his family members, you know, happiness before him. A few weeks before his missing, I've talked to him on the phone for like over 90 minutes, and I remember I posted on social media.That I was so blessed that I have, you know, I'm so blessed that I have such great dad that I can talk to. And I miss that.
我爸是在我们地区非常受人尊重的。我爸弹琴、奏乐、绘画，我知道很多很多人做不到我爸那种雅琴，我爸那种度量。我爸为他想为人民做的那种 信念，我觉得没人敢比。
On April 29, 2017, on the day of his departure to the U.S., my dad was missing. In the morning at 4 a.m., my brother came to my house and said me to cancel the flight and they're not going to come. And I was very shocked and we didn't know what happened exactly. And like later, a few hours later, and we finally contact with my mom and... She said two Chinese security officers, they arrested him while he was out. He was outside of home. And when I look at her face, like she was so scared and she was sobbing without letting her voice out. And like later that day, another two Chinese officials came to my mom's house and took their passport and told them that, you know, they're not going anywhere.
买买提阿布都拉被逮捕后音讯全无。
We don't know which jail he is in. And what worries us the most is that they're not allowing my mom, my sister to contact him. We don't know like exactly what happened to him. But last thing that we know was that he lost over 25 kilos, which is like close to 60 pounds.
在被关押超过两年半之后的2019年12月，家人收到律师的通知，75岁的买买提阿布杜拉被法院判了无期徒刑。
They accused my father as separatist and two-faced and sentenced him life in prison. And they also accused my dad that he misused government's money.
开庭的时候，他们说是以分裂罪、两面派、资助分裂分子等等罪名，判了无期徒刑。
Two-face and bribery is a very usual and common accusation, false accusation that government use for those people who are for Uyghurs who work for government and well-known and prominent people.In Uyghur community, and they use that term to confiscate their lifelong earnings and leave their family with nothing. Even before the sentencing, my dad's retirement income and his property, lifelong savings, like were confiscated, and my mom's retirement income and insurance were stopped, and also my brother's land confiscated.
我从1995年在库尔勒市开发的1200多亩地被国家安全局给没收了，没有任何法律手续。我妹妹他们上诉以后维持原判。
They refiled the second time, but they denied and they did not change any single thing.They did not even give my mom and the sister to give chance to, you know, talk to my dad.
到现在为止，我们家里面我们都没收到判决书。
They did not provide the court order to my mom and sister. They just only they heard it from my from the lawyer that they hired.Also Chinese. They ask at least like give us something that we know.What kind of evidence that you use as, you know, the findings. And like, and my children in the U.S., they have right to know what exactly happened to their dad. And they didn't let them know any information. I cannot express how much pain that we're going through, that we cannot do anything.About it.
病毒出来以后，我们更加担心，因为新疆的那个医疗条件，那个集中营里面的那些条件，我们现在最担心的就这件事。
美国之音就买买提阿布杜拉家属提出的疑点，写信询问中国驻美国大使馆，希望能够得到进一步的说明。但是在节目播出之前。 都未得到相关的回应。2015年买买提阿卜杜拉最后一次来美时，在于克塞尔家门前种下的树已经长高了许多，而他当年帮忙照顾的外孙也已经能够骑单车了。
And every time I saw him, it was like, yes, my dad holds you. I have so many beautiful memories. Like
even like... 美国之音记者刘恩明发自维吉尼亚州的报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。